Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter number 31. Psalms 31. Psalms 31. We're going to look at this thought this morning. My times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hands. We're going to verse number 15, that is where the phrase is found out. My times are in thy hands. Now, when they use the word times here, they're not speaking about a point in time. Like you would look at a clock, and there's a clock on the back wall. I know everybody's thankful for that, right? So I don't go too long. It says 11:24. When they're using the word times, they're not talking about a point of a time in a certain day. David here is talking about times being the seasons. Different seasons of life, different parts of our life. We think about the different seasons of our life. We consider that we were all born. That's right, we were all born. Praise the Lord for that. And we were infants, and we became toddlers. And I know that everybody has toddler stories about your children because of the fact sometimes they call them terrible twos for a reason. And then they went up to be maybe that junior age, and then we went to those teenage years, and many times teenagers feel like they know everything, and then we become young adults, and then we get to the phrase that we become adults, and we understand we don't know everything. And then after we become adults, we become senior citizens, and as senior citizens, sometimes even as they become, I got to be careful because I know we have some older people in our congregation. No, I'm not talking about you specifically, but we got to remember that as senior citizens, you know, sometimes they become immature and they become almost childlike as they near the end of their life. There's different seasons of our lives. It's just the reality is we all were born, and it's a point on the man wants to die. And those different seasons, and David is saying, my times are in thy hands. He's looking at that, and it's interesting that he would say that here, and you're like, why in the world would he say something like that? I remember one preacher put it this way. I'm not sure if Pastor Thompson had said, I had heard it before Pastor Thompson, but they said, put an X in your mind or on a piece of paper, put an X on one side, draw a 6-inch line, and put an X on the other side. And the one on the left represents when you were born. The one on the right represents when you're going to die. Now, of course, none of us know exactly the day or the hour that we're going to die. And then they say, mark where you're, what stage you're in. And obviously, there's some young people in the room, some 14, 15 years old, and they're over here, and they're really near that left mark. And then there's some in this room that are in their 70s and their 80s and maybe even in their 90s, and they are really close to the other mark. I remember as an assistant pastor, I had people, different people come up front one time. I don't know if any of you remember the illustration. It was a gas tank illustration, and that 0 to 15 age group was a full tank of gas, and then it went from 15 to 30, had, you know, 30 3/4 of a tank of gas, and then that 30 to 50 had a 1/4 tank of gas, and then it had from 50 to 70 was, it's getting really low to the empty, and then those that are 80 and above, they were running on fumes. So that's, they're just running on fumes. And we had obviously some people that, it's interesting that we're all in different seasons of our life. Some of the seasons are good. Some of the seasons are not. Sometimes over here, when we're in this stage, that childlike time, most, you know, when I was growing up, that childlike time, people were happy. Young people were happy. Children were happy. We see that some, but we also see sometimes they're asking young people to carry burdens they're not supposed to carry. And because of that, they've lost the joy sometimes of just being a child. They're painted up that you're supposed to look like this or act like this to be. And they're missing their childhood sometimes. But that's a whole different message. But there's not as much pain. You get to be in your 40s. And I used to talk about when I turned 40, you know, aches and pains are a little bit more. And people would just look at me and laugh as though, you have no idea what's coming. As I'm getting ready to turn 50 next year, that's another stage of life, the aches and pains have increased a little bit. And you would still tell me, I still have no idea what's coming because it comes to the 70s and then the 75s and the 80s and 85s, if the Lord's willing. Different seasons and different stages of life. You say, why in the world would David write something like that in the middle of a psalm? Well, if you look in verse number 9, I think it kind of gives the answer. He says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth me because of my iniquity. My bones are consumed. So why would he say something like, my times are in thy hand? It gives us the answer in verse 14. He says, but I've trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Now, I didn't know what the Batemans were going to sing, but you know that's what they were singing about. That's my God. He's my God. And no matter what the world may say, no matter how much the world might try to tell you he's wrong or a fairy tale or that his word doesn't apply, that's my God. Now, he makes it personal and he says, thou art my God. And he's coming to the spot in the different seasons of his life. And we remember the story of David. It's an amazing story. You go through and you remember the story of David, and it kind of gives us this idea that he was in trouble a lot. And he had some really interesting seasons. As a young man, he worked out in the shepherd fields, and we believe maybe even the Psalms were written during that time period as a young person. And he's there, and he's out in the fields enjoying nature, playing on his harp. You know, somehow he had to become a masterful harp player somewhere. He didn't just pick it up. It was something he enjoyed. And he was, during those times, he fought a bear with his bare hands. He fought a lion with his bare hands. During that time, he was taken out of the fields to come and stand before Samuel and was anointed to be king over Israel. Then he had to go back and work in the fields. Then we see the trouble he was in when he was fighting Goliath. He said, well, that wasn't a trouble time. That was a victorious time. And how many of us are going to go fight 9 foot, 10 tall, 10 foot tall champion of the giants? It was a fearful time if you can allow it. There's different seasons. And then after that, he becomes a person that's living in victory, and he's having victories as a general, and then the king tries to kill him with a javelin. So you think about it. It's up and down and up and down. And then there is a king that wants to kill him. And we're not just talking about somebody who says, I'm going to kill you, and you never see him ever again. This king takes an army out and chases him throughout the wilderness. And there was different times and different seasons that he had to face. And some were high and some were low. And even when Saul at one time came into the cave and he was there. And what was his men saying? The men were encouraging, hey, go ahead. God has given you him in your hands. Go ahead and slay him. And what did David say? It's not the right time. It wasn't the time for him to do that. He wasn't going to touch God's anointed. And then even as the times go around, Saul dies, David becomes king. Even during those seasons, there's different things that happen and with the Philistines and with Ziklag and all the different things. And even as king, you say, well, he's king. That's great. You know how many battles he fought as king? You know, I mean, yes, he might have the opportunity to sit on a throne, but how many times he led those men out in battle? He saw people die in those wars. Seasons of life. And then there was a time when his own son, Absalom, rebels. They speak lies about him. And many people think Psalms 31 actually happened during a time that he was running from Absalom, or in the least looking back at what happened during the time with Absalom. His son betrays him. He captures the hearts of the men that are there and the men of Israel, and they start a revolt and they try to take over his kingdom, and his son actually tries to kill him, and he flees for his life. And as he's fleeing for his life, we believe that at least these thoughts came from that experience. And he's there and he's saying, thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. Recognize something. No matter what the time was, no matter what the challenge was, he was always in God's hands. And I want to encourage you today. I don't know how many mornings David woke up and said, Lord, it's me. I'm in trouble again. Because it seems like if you go back and you think about the stories that happened, there is troubling times all around him. Whether it was a week or every month, yes, there were good times, but there was difficult decisions, difficult times again and again. And that's when he says in verse 14, but I've trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are coming to you today because we recognize you are God. I'm assuming most people sitting here would feel the same way, that we are God, that you are God, and that's why we're here. And Lord, I pray that each of us could say, thou art my God, and we would believe and have trusted in your plan and salvation. And Lord, I pray as those that are believers here today, they would say with David, they would understand with David, my times are in thy hands. The different seasons of my life, I'm always in the hands of God. And even though that there are troubling times that are around many of us and some difficult times that we are facing, I pray that we would be encouraged with David along when he says, my times are in thy hands, that we would understand that even in this season of life, we are in the hands of God and we can trust him. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that may be struggling with the season of life that they're going through, maybe there are some doubts in their life, maybe even some difficulties that they're facing, even from a church perspective, we remember that the church is in God's hands. And even here at Faith Baptist Church, times can be good and sometimes times can be lean. But we're in the hands of God. And that we're going to trust in you like David said. We're going to point up to you and say, thou art my God. During this difficult time, I still see you as God. I'm trusting in you because I'm in your hands. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. When you think about it, that word trouble gives the idea of narrowness. It gives the idea of pressing. It gives the idea of stress and pressure. And I think that even in the majority of David's life, except for maybe when he was out on those fields, and obviously I know taking care of sheep, I'm sure, was a stressful situation. But you look at his life and the timeline of his life, there wasn't many times of probably times where he would be without some type of stress or without some type of pressure. And one of the things I enjoy about David, he's the one that tells us to rest in the Lord. He's the one in Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord. He tells us that we can find rest and we can find hope, we can find comfort, we can find peace in the Lord. He was the one that faced Goliath and the lion and the bear and the madman chasing after him and the son with rebellion, but he's the one that's called a man after God's own heart. One of the things I appreciate about the time of David's life, we can learn something from it because the trouble he did, he doesn't seem to respond in bitterness. He doesn't seem to respond in anger. He doesn't seem to respond in a cynical type way. And I think it's important in the day and time we live in that we be on guard against those things. Think about it. In the day that we live in today, we live in sometimes what most would consider a very difficult season here in America. Very difficult things around us. There is a social unrest to a scale that is very surprising to many of us. We understand why it's happening, but it's unlike any other time that I believe we've seen in America, at least that I've seen in America. There's groups that are against one another, and there's much hatred. And there is much violence and racism and things that are causing different uncertainty. There's an economic uncertainty that's around us. We see the gas prices going up and up, and then they come down. We're wondering when they're going to go back up. We see things such as what they call a pandemic and COVID issues, and we see governmental issues, and we have church issues and church problems, and there's things that are disrupting the way we want things in our lives. There are things saying, this is causing a problem in my life. And I understand why David is saying here in verse number 9, have mercy upon me, Oh Lord, for I am in trouble. And I can only imagine the different things that David faced in his life. And I can imagine while he was in those caves, running from Saul, looking up, saying, Lord, it's me again. I'm in trouble. But it encourages me to remind myself that he says, my times are in thy hands, that I'm in the mighty hand of God, no matter what the circumstance and the situation is. To me, I think it's important how we respond to that. I see him as he running from Absalom, and I can only imagine what he was feeling and what he was facing and realizing that this was not going to end well, either for him or for his son. There's no repair to this. There's only a problem. There's only issues. And he looks at him and he says, thou art my God. He says, you're the one I trust. And if you go to verse number 1 and 2 and 3, you see the confidence. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear, down thy ear to thee. It's sort of like when you go and listen to someone who cannot that maybe not able to speak loud anymore, and an older person that, or maybe someone who's sick and struggling. He says, hey, come closer so you can hear what I'm saying. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy namesake, lead and guide me, and pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. It doesn't say keep me from the net. He says, I'm in the midst of the trouble. I'm stuck in the net that's been laid for me. Will you pull me out of this? He says, for thou art my strength. And to thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. As Jesus talks about how he was committing his life into God's hands, David here is saying something similar. Commit my spirit. He says, I am trusting you of all of me. I will be glad in verse 7 and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul's and adversities, and thou hast not shut me up unto the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet into a large room. It says, for I am in trouble. Today I'd like to encourage you and remind you of something. That even when we're in trouble, our times and our seasons are in God's hands. And you see the responses that are here. He's speaking here. He's trusting in God. And you see the responses. And I know sometimes he'll write things about the enemies, not giving them success, cut off the enemies, having them stop speaking. I understand that. But you don't see a critical spirit towards God. You don't see a cynical spirit towards God. You don't see a bitterness towards God. You see he's trusting and he's focusing and he says, I understand that no matter what's happening in my life, I am in God's hands. I do not have to give up. I do not have to fail. I do not have to act in a way that is bitterness. And I do not have to be cynical. And I do not have to be rude. I do not have to have the wrong anger. If the screen was pulled up, the crosses were there. And we see how Christ demonstrated that on the cross, what he did for us. We see his response, and we're supposed to be Christ-like. Even in Philippians 2, we've been learning about on Wednesday nights. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That when the times are hard and the seasons are hard and we're in trouble, and if you keep on reading and towards the end of the chapters, it talks about people lying about him. In verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence. He talks about the people who speaks lies about him. He talks about the people who are laying traps for him. He talks about the people who hate him and the people that have strifes against him. And what does he do? He says, you're my God. And I understand no matter though, it seems as if the whole kingdom is against me, I'm in your hands. It seems like the his counselors had been betrayed him, at least some of them, and that his son had betrayed him, and they had an army, and he had won the hearts of the men, that as his kingdom was turning his back, he could look at him and say, you are my God, and I realize that even now, as I'm running for my life, during the season, I'm in your hands. I wonder today what season you're going through. I wonder if, and I know the children are in the back and they're the ones closest to the ex. And I know that the season of their life is different than the seasons of life of somebody that has trying to raise a family, or the seasons of life of somebody that's maybe approaching retirement and they don't have the funds they need to retire and their body is worn out. And then we have those that are senior citizens and many of them are still working and working very hard. All those different things that are happening. And we're wondering, what in the world? I'm in trouble. I'm in a fix. I'm in a problem. And David says, I'm in your hands. Philippians 2, verse 14 and 16, we're going to look at tonight in the passage of Scripture. We're moving our Wednesday night series, at least for one Sunday. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. These are the verses we're talking about tonight. Think about that. Without grumbling and complaining, without disputings. And David had plenty to grumble about. He had plenty to complain about it, but he says, I realize I don't have anything to complain about because my life is in your hands. My times are in your hands. And then it continues on, let do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And he says, you're going to shine as lights in this world when you recognize that God is God of your life. And even when there be a time that many of us would want to grumble and many of us would want to murmur and would want to dispute, we're going to shine as a light when we reject the things of this world. We're going to shine bright. The problem with the church today is we want to become more and more like the world. But how can a church shine? How can they shine bright when they look just like the world? When they grumble just like the world? I know everybody's going to want to come back tonight because they're hearing. But at the same time, it's the thought here. Shine is like, David here in this time period had a reason to dispute, had a reason to murmur. But he says, I'm remembering something. I'm remembering that my times are in God's hands. When I became king, my times were in God's hands. During a victorious time, when I had my foot on Goliath and I was holding Goliath's head, my times were in God's hands. When the javelin was being thrown at me, my times were still in God's hands. When I was being searched like a dog trying to be put, my times were still in God's hands. When those days of rejoicing, I'm still in the Lord's hands. Those days of heartache and frustration, still in God's hands. So whether it's the stage of being a newborn or a toddler or a junior age or a teen year or a young adult or seniors, life does not stand still. God has designed us and designs us different seasons. You think about it, our world, our year or calendar has different seasons. We go from winter to spring to summer to fall. And we all have different seasons we like better than others. Some people like winter the best. That's not my favorite. Some people like winter the best because there's snow. You live in the wrong spot then, because we don't get much snow. You should be wherever the Lord wants you to be at. But don't make it your favorite season if you don't see the snow. And then I like spring and fall. Why do I like spring and fall? Because of the weather out there. It gives us an opportunity to minister a little bit better. I like spring when it talks about how there's the new life and the new flowers. And I like fall because of the fact that you see the pretty colors. And summer, it's hot. That's not my favorite season. It might be some of your favorite seasons. Some of it might be what people enjoy. Some people like the heat. Some people like the humidity. I think you're crazy, but me, there's different seasons. The point is, there's different seasons of life. Some people see the cold and understand the cold and the replenishing that happens with the cold and the spring, the new light that comes back and the summertime, the growth that happens there and the harvesting of fall time. There is a season even every single year. Some have their favorites. Some are ones enjoy more. Some more that we enjoy less. But they're all in the Lord's hands. You think about it, each and every day, we see the sun goes up and the sun comes down. It's all in the Lord's hands. And our lives do not just stand still. God has designed our lives and the world to have seasons. And I just want us to understand, it's not always going to stay that way. Think about it. Sometimes you look at that sweet, innocent baby, and you maybe it's your first child, and you're there, and they're cute and they're precious, and you're thinking, I guess wish they would never grow up. Then they start crying and they need a diaper change, and you're like, well, maybe they can just wait till they're after they're potty trained. Then they can stay small like that. And then they're terrible twos, and so you're thinking, maybe they just get old. You know what? It's not going to stay that way. That baby in your arms is going to grow older. They're going to have different seasons. They're going to face some of the same challenges that you have faced. And if they would understand this principle, that no matter what season it is, we're still in God's hands, it's going to help us. Because there are some seasons that are harder than others. There are times that there are sometimes sickness that we face. Sometimes there's family turmoils that we face. Sometimes there's different seasons of plenty. And sometimes there's seasons of lean. If we'll remember this, we're in the Lord's hands. We're not always young. We're not always happy. We're not always well off. Because we're always moving. And sometimes there is a mountaintop experience, and sometimes there's a valley experience. You get there times like there was before in the past, and there's times that we're going on now, but time will never stand still. The world moves and keeps on moving. We can predict some things about tomorrow, but in all reality, we live in an absolutely changing world. How are we going to respond to it? I think about Israel and bondage and slavery, rejoicing when they got out. They took all these things from the Egyptians. They get to the Red Sea, what happens? They cry out to God. Red Sea's parted. They go in there. They go across the Red Sea. They sing that great song and they praise the Lord. 3 days later, they're complaining. Why? Where's the change? It was exciting when we were in God's hands, when the sea was being part, when the Egyptians were being drowned, and we could celebrate. We're still in the same God's hands. Even when the water is bitter and we don't have the water, it's something that we can still see. How does your life go from excitement to bitterness in just 3 days? It's because life is moving and always changing. But that is not the end of the story. Because even though life is always changing, there is one thing that is constant, and there is one thing that is for sure, is that we have a God that does not change. And that's what he says, that you are my rock, for thou art my rock in verse number 3. I'd read the words, and he describes rock, fortress, house of defense. And I wonder how many times David had to look up to him and said, Lord, I'm in trouble again. But I understand this principle. I'm in your hands. To think about my times, my seasons of life. Next things I want you to think about is my God. Now, in Bible college, you learn something about theology. And sometimes when you use a word like theology, sometimes people disconnect and say, oh, why do I want to learn about theology? Why do I want to learn about who God is? That's what we want to know, because we can trust him better. And we love talking about the omnipotent or omnipotent, the omnipresence. And we love talking about all those omnis. But there's some wonderful characteristics about God that will help hold us each and every day. He's immutable. What does the word immutable talk about? It talks about he never changes. He's the same yesterday and today. He'll be the same tomorrow. Often we don't like to think about it, or we don't think about it, but one of the greatest things we have and we can trust in is we serve a God that does not change. And so just as David was saying, thou art my God and my times are in thy hands, we can look at him and say, you are my God. And your times, my times are in your hand. The amazing thing is, not only is he immutable, he is also sovereign. He is provident over the changes that we have in our life. Not only is God immutable and sovereign, he is able to make all things work together for good. If you like to, you can take your Bible to Daniel chapter number 2. I'd like to show you a principle, hold your place in Psalms 31. If you don't, you can just listen. But in Daniel chapter number 2, this word times, same word is mentioned in Daniel chapter number 2. In Daniel chapter number 2, he is rejoicing the fact that God has given the secret to him that's going to help Daniel and help the people that are the wise men that were in Babylon. Daniel chapter number 2, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Now look at this. and he changeth the times and the seasons. It's God that changes the times, and it's God that changes the seasons. He's sovereign in all this. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So what are you getting at? I'm telling you, he is provident. He is sovereign all over all things. The times that you're dealing with, the seasons that you're dealing with, are things that are happening into your life that he is allowing to happen right now. So, well, that doesn't make me feel any better. Take your Bible to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is probably only a few books back, but a number of pages because of the, but it's Ecclesiastes. Most of us would know Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Most of us would know what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, which is a famous one. It says a time to be born and a time to die. It talks about the different seasons. But in verse number 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to unpack in a sense is that if God is sovereign and God is provident over all the things, as we talked about, he takes the kings, he removes the kings, he allows seasons to happen, and he changes the seasons, he changes the times, he allows the things that happen to our lives. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, there is a purpose under heaven for it. There is a purpose for whatever season and whatever time that we're going through. And there is a purpose for fall, there's a purpose for winter, there's a purpose for spring, and there's a purpose for summer. And sometimes those that understand the seasons can see all those different reasons, but we don't miss the seasons of this world, but sometimes we miss the purpose of God that he has for the seasons of our life. We miss the times. He's saying that all those seasons are for a purpose and a reason under heaven. There is a reason why somebody is going through this. There is a reason why you are experiencing what you're happening. He can take all things because he's sovereign and work it together for good. He can make everything that happens in your life for a reason and for a purpose. So that's why he says in verse number 14, I trusted in thee. Trust in you, even during this time. For thou art my God. I am trusting in you in this season because I know that no matter what's happening, it is happening for a purpose and a reason. And even though we might not always see it, and even though we might not always understand it, even though we might not always like it, just like I don't really like summer, doesn't really matter. The season is happening for a reason and a purpose. And we have to learn to respond the way he says, verse 14. I trusted in thee. And trust doesn't happen when the problem is happening. You learn to trust him beforehand. Our great responsibility in all these seasons of life is trust thee in the Lord. I trust in thee. When we get angry and bitter and cynical, it's not that we're not trusting him. It's not the way he wants us to live. It's not the way he wants us to look like. He wants us to be a light in this crooked and perverse generation. He wants us to shine as a light. During this season, we must learn to trust in him. God does have a purpose. Not only is it my times and my God, I want you to think about the word my for a second. When he says verse 14, thou art my God, here's the thing I enjoy the most. It's a personal God. Loves us. Knows us. I know some people might not like this idea of a personal Savior, but that's what he is. He is a personal Savior. Now, so Pastor, what's the big deal? He's God. He created all of us. He's all of our gods. He is God. He is Creator. But he is not a personal Savior to all. So we are all creatures of God, but we're not all part of the family of God. God created all of us. Yes. But there's a difference between that and him being my God. There's a difference about being part of the family of God. It's a personal relationship. Pastor, what do you mean? I mean that God has provided a way of salvation for us so we can know him personally. We can become a child of God. I told you earlier, the different seasons of life that I was saved at a Saturday night. That's when it was during the announcement time, during Saturday night revival. Dick Seaton was there, and he was preaching for the first time in my life. I had been going to church all my life. First time in my life that I remember, I was convicted of my sin. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew the Bible. I memorized the Bible. You might not believe this, but I got little gold stars for having memory verses and showing up every single week. Even though I was an obnoxious child, I still was someone who was, church was always important to me. And at the age of 9 years old, God convicted my heart. I needed to be saved. And he went from just being a creator to being my Father. So how does that happen? Is when I realize I am in need of a Savior because he convicts my heart of the sin. He said, what's sin? Sin is anything that we do that is against the will of God for our life. You can just go down to 10 commandments. You can see that we all sinners. We all fall short. You know, who is it that can say that I've never told a lie? And I've met some people who said that. And I think anytime somebody says I've never, ever told a lie, I think to myself, you just told one right there. Because it's not just even an outward action. It's talking about the inward actions. And we go over those different things. And it's easy to see the law tells us that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is when we turn to him and we put our faith and trust in him, when we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we confess that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again to pay our sin debt. And I remember that night that it's kind of funny. I remember how I felt. It's like the walls of Jericho have fallen down around my life because of the conviction that was happening, and that God, and it's not about feelings per se, but I knew God was speaking to my heart. Years later, my mom gives me a cassette tape, because I always, man, he must have been preaching about Jericho that night, because what I remember, he gives me a cassette tape. He was preaching about the return of Christ. I could never get the cassette tape work because it was back in 1982 or something like that, and I got it like in the early 2000s, and I never got to hear the message, but they were able to track the dates and the times, and I thought it was kind of neat. But it was the fact that God spoke to my heart. You need a Savior. You're in need of a Savior. Without him, without a Savior, you are lost, you are undone, you're headed to a horrible place called hell. Someday you will stand before a holy God, and you're not getting to heaven on your own. So when David says, thou art my God, he's speaking about a personal God. Do you know him today? Can you say if you died today that you know you would go to heaven? We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says. Not just what Pastor P says, but take you through the scriptures and say, here's what the Bible says. We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. And this is what God did. And this is how you can respond to him as he convicts your heart of sin. This is the only way of heaven. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. David here found rest and peace in this thought. Thou art my God. My times are in thy hands. So at the end of the message, you're supposed to make application. You're supposed to try to bring it all together and give us something to think about. So what are you going through in your life today? Some are facing sickness. Some are facing a season of prosperity. It changes. Some are facing a season of leanness. Some are facing productivity. Some are facing negativity. Some are facing when people are lying about you. Some are facing the fact that everybody's your best friend. Different seasons of life. David says to him, and I can only imagine in David's life, a man after God's own heart, he was faced with trouble so often that he would often say, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. And he would even go in verse number 9, he says, mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. He is at a horrible spot. He says, but I'm encouraged because you're my God. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm going through. It's not about my seasons or my times, because those are all in your hand. So let's apply it to whatever you're going through today. Are you trusting in him? He said, of course I'm trusting in him. How are you responding? Because if you're not responding in a biblical way, you're not trusting in his ways. We think about even our church. And sometimes there's seasons for a church. Sometimes there's large ministries, and sometimes it's smaller. Sometimes you have more people coming, and sometimes you have less people coming. Sometimes you see people being saved, and sometimes you see people leaving. What does that do to us? Does it change just the way that we act? Does it change the way we perceive things? Does it change how we serve and minister? Or do we turn to him and say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand, that we believe that Faith Baptist Church is in God's hand and that God is the one and that everything that happens, happens for a reason and a purpose. And yes, obviously during seasons of life, we learn things, and during seasons of life, we make changes and we get closer to him and we learn from the mistakes of the past and we grow, but it never stops the fact that he's still our God, and our seasons and our times, they're in his hands. And he's allowed certain things to happen. He is immutable in the fact that he has not changed. And there is a purpose under heaven for that sickness. There's a purpose under heaven for that struggle you're going through. There's a purpose under heaven for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. So whatever you're happening, God can take that and make that work together for good. So whatever is happening in your life, where you're working at, or even in your church, remember, that time is in God's hands. He's going to take care of you. Trust in him. Don't respond like many of us, murmurings and disputings. Respond as David does. I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God. Let's pray.